World Rugby is about to elect its new chairman, and in this video you are going to get a front row seat to the candidates, their vision for the future of the sport, and who I think is going to be best for the Springboks and South African rugby. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the man who is currently in the hot seat in World Rugby, and that would be Bill Beaumont. He is stepping down after serving the maximum of 2 terms, and let's be frank, a lot of fans are quite pleased to see the back of him. Something that immediately comes to mind for me is the Rugby World Cup 2023 opening ceremony in France, when he was actually booed by the crowd at the Stade de France. Over the years, we've seen lots of law changes, which, let's be honest, a lot of Springbok supporters have felt that those law changes have disproportionately targeted South Africa. For example, there was a law change just this year which prevented teams from taking a scrum after a free kick. Previously, you were able to go for a second scrum, a third scrum, etc., etc. Now, just the free kick. They call it depowering the scrum. And there's a little bit of a conspiracy that says that Australia, who have a very weak scrum and are hosting the next Rugby World Cup, are behind that law, and New Zealand are supporting them. And obviously, the scrum is one of the Springboks' great strengths. Conspiracy, perhaps, but there is merit in that thought. But what really irks me the most about Bill Beaumont, apart from, in my opinion, his continuation of sidelining smaller nations in world rugby, let's talk specifically from a South African perspective, is his dislike of our bomb squad. In a recent interview, he even questioned whether the sport itself has too many substitutions, hinting that perhaps we should not be relying so much on depth. What Beaumont clearly forgot is that World Rugby's own research, by the way fronted by our very own Professor Ross Tucker, has indicated that more substitutions or substitutes results in fewer injuries. And you will know that there is a big emphasis these days, coming from World Rugby, on player welfare. And there's a perhaps an overemphasis even on head injuries. So why is it that he is concerned about too many substitutions when his own organization has come to the conclusion that more substitutes equals less injuries? Food for thought. Okay, now with that being said, let's meet the 3 candidates who are vying for the position of World Rugby Chairman. I'm going to give it to you in alphabetical order, starting with Abdellatif Benazi. Now, if you are the same age as me or older, I am almost certain that you would be familiar with Benazi, perhaps most famously scoring a non-try against the Springboks in the 1995 Rugby World Cup semi-final in Durban in what was essentially like playing in a river. Benazi himself did admit afterwards that he was short of the line, and we appreciate his honesty. The South African Rugby Union have actually got behind Benazi as well. I'm also a supporter in this instance, and I'm going to tell you why. But first, let's look at what it is that Benazi would like to accomplish should he become World Rugby Chairman. He's all about reforming rugby's governance. He's built his platform around inclusivity, and that means bringing in what you would call tier 2 nations to the table. So that's going to be teams like Georgia, Samoa, Fiji, Spain, Uruguay, Chile, those kind of nations. And even to an extent, South Africa and Argentina, who often feel sidelined by what's going on at World Rugby in terms of the biggest decisions. If he becomes chairman, Benazi wants to give the smaller nations more of a voice. And in my opinion, that is not a bad thing at all. We want to see rugby become a truly global sport. One of the things that I enjoy most about football is that they have a World Cup that has 32 teams. Now, okay, honestly, not all 32 stand a chance of winning the tournament, but probably 24 of the 32 arrive at the World Cup with a realistic chance of reaching the knockout stage. And I reckon around 12 of the 32 would feel that if they don't get to the quarterfinals, it would have been a failure. And then further to that, I would say maybe around 8 teams might arrive at the tournament and fancy their chances of actually winning the competition. If you look at World Rugby, maybe those numbers are a lot smaller. We have a 20-team tournament. I know it's expanding to 24 for next time. But of the 20, how many are realistically in with a shout of reaching the quarterfinals, would you say? And of those, how many realistically could get to the semifinals? And let's be honest, maybe at most there are about 4 teams at every World Cup who realistically have a chance of winning. And sometimes it's not even the same 4. Perhaps in the past, Australia would have been a team that arrived at the tournament with hopes of winning the Webb Ellis Cup. But would you have said that of them last year? Certainly not. Now, I know that I'm romanticizing it a little bit as well, because if we're honest, it's not like Brazil currently arrive at the Football World Cup with a realistic shot at winning it. They are in a bit of a weak moment, as Jurgen Klopp might say. But enough about football. Let's get back to the rugby. And Benazee, one of the other things that he would like to do is restructure the international calendar. That will allow for more competitive matches outside of the Six Nations and the Rugby Championship. I wonder what exactly it is that he might like to do there. I know this is very controversial, but if you ask me, one of the best ways that you can open up the sport to make it truly global is to actually do away with the Six Nations and the Rugby Championship. And that way, that makes more space for matches between, let's say, South Africa and Uruguay, or England and Georgia, etc., etc. Could be very, very interesting. It's also the kind of thing that might require me to do a separate video to explain exactly what I have in mind. But maybe we'll do that later in the year or next year sometime. Benazee's key proposal is a more level playing field, and that extends to the commercial side of things in terms of those smaller nations. And I think that that is a very good thing. He wants to revisit World Rugby's commercial model. His overall vision is to bring everybody to the table and make everyone part of the overall conversation. Candidate number 2 is from Italy. Andrea Rinaldo is his name. Not to be confused with any other Ronaldo that you may have heard of in other sports. Now, he's not your typical rugby guy, let me tell you. He's a scientist and a professor of hydrology. But his background gives him a unique perspective on our game. He's focused on making data-driven decisions, using the latest research to inform policy changes. Ronaldo wants to introduce advanced analytics into how rugby is governed. Think performance metrics, player safety, and even weather conditions. He believes that rugby should evolve with technology, and on that front I certainly agree with him, and that using more scientific data could help the game grow globally. But here's the catch. Ronaldo's approach is maybe a bit cold, excuse the pun, because many in rugby circles, I think, might be wondering whether his academic approach might actually distance himself from the players and the various stakeholders and even alienate them or isolate them. The concern is that he has a disconnect from the heart of the sport. And from a Springbok point of view and a Springbok supporters' perspective, those of us who love the physicality of the game may see his methods as too detached from the action on the field. Still, Ronaldo could shake things up if he comes into power. I will point out one thing about Andrea Rinaldo, and that is that he is actually the outsider candidate. Make no mistake, he is the guy who is least likely to win this election. However, he is one of the candidates, and those of you who follow politics will know that we do sometimes see surprises and upsets in the political world as well. And that brings us to candidate number 3, and this is the man who is the favorite. He is seen as something of a continuity candidate. A continuation of the Bill Beaumont era and policies. He's from Australia and his name is Brett Robinson. Now, this man is all about the business side of rugby. He wants to grow the global sport from a commercial perspective, increasing the sport's revenues overall and driving growth as a result. He wants better media deals as well as commercial partnerships and overall visibility for rugby. It seems like a straightforward strategy. More money, more revenue, more visibility. bigger incomes for the sport to then perhaps distribute to the various unions, including South Africa, and that will help boost the financial sustainability of many of the unions. Let's be honest, guys. Anyone who follows enough of rugby around the world will know that a lot of the clubs, if you go down to domestic level, are in trouble. Look at England, for example, how many of their clubs have gone bankrupt just in the last couple of years. And I think it's fair to say that the sport is healthy at an international level, but if you just go down one tier, there are all kinds of problems that suddenly begin to reveal themselves, especially from a financial perspective. Now, one thing that Robertson might actually have in common with Benazee is that he is keen to tap into new markets. Now, I don't know if that means China or perhaps growing in the United States, but that just gives you a little bit of an idea of something that he actually has in common with Benazee. So obviously, from a South African perspective, this could be very appealing. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago, I did a video about the South African Rugby Union getting into bed with an American investment firm. The idea would be that they would come on board, they'd form a new company. The Americans were going to own 20% of this new company. And the whole idea was that they were going to come in and grow the sport commercially. They were going to be solely focused on the commercial aspect of things. An equity partner is what SARU called them. So there's no doubt that the sport does need this kind of financial injection, if you will. And that does make it quite appealing from South Africa's perspective, and indeed even many of the smaller nations. He could actually provide the necessary resources that SARU are currently looking for. And why are we looking for it? Well, because we want to maintain our position at the top of the rugby tree. Right, so how does it all work, this election? If you've voted before, you will know that the way that we do it is we wake up in the morning or whatever the case may be, you make your way to a polling station, you stand in a queue, you get that little ink on your thumbnail, you go and make your mark next to the political party or candidate of your choice, fold up the ballot, put it in the box, and you go home. Now, that's not exactly how it works with World Rugby. Let me explain. World Rugby's council is made up of over 50 members. Those are member unions from across the world. So the South African Rugby Union would be one of those. Those are the councils who will vote on who the new chairman will be. And that's why it's so important for the candidates to also have the support of Spain, Georgia, Uruguay, Chile, etc. Because you cannot become the chairman of World Rugby if you only have the Six Nations in your corner, as you can see. In order to become the chairman of World Rugby, you would need sufficient backing from Tier 1 as well as Tier 2 nations. However, the political power of it all is weighted in favor of the Tier 1 nations. It's not quite a case of one man, one vote. So you do need to build alliances and support across the board. So who do I think will win? Well, I think based on what I've told you, it's pretty obvious that I don't think that Ronaldo is going to be the new chairman of World Rugby. He's the first Italian attempting to become the chairman of the global organization. For me, it's between Benazee and it's between him and Robinson. What do I think? I have a feeling it's going to go in the direction of Robinson. The reason I say this is because World Rugby tends to be quite a conservative organization. They like stability. They are not big on change, except when it comes to law variations every year, you may have noticed. But in terms of opening up the game, I mean, let's look at Japan, for example. 2019, the Rugby World Cup, they were wonderful. They got to the quarterfinals for the first time in their history. They played beautiful rugby in the pool stages. And then comes the big question. What happens next for Japan? Were they able to join the Six Nations as a fellow Northern Hemisphere team? No, they're not even considered a Northern Hemisphere team. And geography would indicate that that's exactly what they are. But they're not considered a Southern Hemisphere team either. So they didn't join the Rugby Championship, and that didn't really look like it was something that was ever going to happen either. So where does Japan go? What is the next step for them? Another really good example would be Georgia. They've gone from nowhere to Rugby World Cup regulars in a very short space of time. They've started winning matches at the World Cup. They've been doing that now for a few tournaments in a row. But they can't get into the Six Nations. So how do they improve? The only way really is for their players to be playing domestic rugby in France, something that Argentina did, and that's how they became very competitive. But wouldn't it be great if the sport could open up, become more global? You'd have more leagues, you'd have more players playing in different countries, becoming better, and then you would have a situation in 2027, maybe that's too early, but further down the line, where a team like, say, Uruguay could arrive at the World Cup and have realistic expectations of reaching the quarterfinals. The United States of America, one day, maybe they could have realistic ambitions of winning the Rugby World Cup. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I believe that South Africa will always be strong. The Springboks are always going to produce great players. So I don't fear the emergence of fresh teams. In fact, if anything, I not only embrace it, but I think it's good for the sport globally. And I think it would be fun. Can you imagine, instead of us going to Twickenham and Cardiff and Dublin and whatever every year in November, maybe we end up going to New York for a blockbuster test match at the Giants Stadium. That'd be cool. Or in Dallas at the Cowboys Stadium. I'd love to see something like that. At the moment, why would we even bother doing anything like that? So with that in mind, Ben Azee is my preferred choice. I think it's clearly between him and Robinson. I think Robinson is the favorite because World Rugby would prefer to just keep things the way they are. Billy Beaumont has had his time in office. I don't think he's done a great job in terms of growing the sport globally, and I don't think that World Rugby are overly concerned with doing that anyway. I think that a lot of it is lip service. And in terms of the commercial side of the Robinson argument, my opinion would be to say, well, that's what you have a CEO for. The chief executive officer is in charge of the commercial side of things. It's the chairman, in this case, hopefully Ben Azee, who would come there. He's got his vision. He knows what he would like rugby to look like globally. And the aim then of the CEO is to implement that vision. That vision obviously includes revenues and commercialization aspects. So I wouldn't fear the idea that Ben Azee is inferior to Robinson when it comes to the commercial side of things. If anything, I think that Ben Azee walking in there would shake things up and it would be for the better. Now, what I would like to know is, what do you think? Who do you think is going to be the new World Rugby chairman? And who do you think, or who would you prefer to be the candidate? Because it could be two different people. Just like me, I'm kind of thinking Robinson is going to win, but I would like it to be Ben Azee, and so would the South African Rugby Union. It would be better for Springbok Rugby, in my view, if Ben Azee became the new World Rugby chairman.